Why top end for Athens? Why not trying to make a trailblazing one or something like that?
Good question. I think when we saw the people involved in this business, people with the handcraft things, they have the passion. It's a bit difficult to think industrial and go mass market. So we thought, no, we definitely, it needs to be top end. And also in that way, we put us as far away from as far away as possible from the more questionable apps that we all know are in the market.
When for the first time you've gotten an award, then next you got an award in Pontarlier in Absentiade. How did you feel? Did you feel originally that you had an award-winning product or something like that?
I mean, you always hope that you have, but we entered with this competition with no great expectations, I must say. I mean, you still hope when you put it in. I think the International Wine and Spirits Competition, the Best in Class and Gold Award was very nice from a spirits industry perspective. But I must say that the Golden Spoon from Pontarlier is at least as important, if not more, because there you have more of the absenteurs and the people who have been involved in the industry for a long time. So that means a lot to us.
Can you talk about that, about the lessons you've learned so far in this industry or in the London market and so on?
I think specifically for the London market, but I think it's probably true for a lot of other markets in Europe, is that when you walk into a bar, everybody knows absinthe. At least they think they do. And what they know about absinthe is not always very positive. And especially in the UK, there have been in the 90s some big problems with products that catered to young people were being drunk as shot or put on fire or whatever else you could do to it. So quite often when we walk into bars now, people are a bit hesitant until we kind of explain our approach and until we let them try our products. One of the things that we feel that have been very important for our product is that to make it versatile, that you can drink it traditionally with ice water, you can drink it in cocktails, you can even drink it on the rocks. Or we actually also encourage people to try it neat after a meal, where you would sip it like you would do with a grappa as a digestive. So those, when you explain those things to the people in the trade and let them try it, I think they change their perception of absinthe. But it's a lot of work. It's restaurant by restaurant and bar by bar. So hopefully somebody else will join and help us out a bit on that one.
We've heard early as a tentative to go to an Asian market for La Maison Fontaine. Is it still a target market for you, and if you try to go there, are we this market that we don't know in actually?
There is, in the Asian market, there is a knowledge of absinthe among the trade, not so much among the consumers. And we are going in, we are launching in, our first place will be in Taipei, Taiwan, early December. And we are in talks with distributors in 6 or 7 other countries in Asia Pacific on bringing the product in. And the tastings that we have done in places like Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, and so on, the feedback has been very positive, actually surprisingly positive, because anise flavored drinks is normally has traditionally not been a big thing. So we definitely knew that we were going in aiming at a minority of the market, but the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive from the people who have tried our absinthe.
And last question: now that you've performed quite well with a blanche, with the first absinthe, do you feel like trying another one, for example, a verte or a little sister for La Maison Fontaine?
There will definitely be something else coming up, hopefully next year. And as you probably have guessed, I cannot tell you what it is.
Thank you very much anyway.